The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning, Glory America. Bonjour. Hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt live inside the Beltway as I prepare to withdraw to winter quarters on the West Coast. I will not be here tomorrow. Ed Morrissey will be sitting in for me because, well, it's just time to vacate the Beltway, which is unpleasant most of the year, but particularly so in January and February. So with the fetching Mrs. Hewitt as the advance party, we are withdrawing to the western border. Sometimes I go to the northern border. Usually I'm on the eastern border. Ed Morrissey holds down the southern border, but I'm headed off to the western border today, so I will not be in tomorrow. Father Christmas did me bad. If any of you watched, and I hope you all had a wonderful Christmas, if any of you watched the referees win the game against the Browns on Christmas Day, you know that if Congressman Gallagher obliges me to wear Packers gold and green, I, of course, being a man of my wager, will do so. But he's a Marine, and I don't think any honorable Marine would claim that as a win, given the interference at the end, which pretty much everybody in America saw except the referee. I mean, when they're in the booth saying you got hosed, when Romo's saying you got hosed, you got hosed. So the Browns got hosed. Now, doesn't matter. Does not matter. We just need four things to happen. The Browns have to win out Monday night against the Steelers, and the following Sunday in Cleveland against the Bengals. The one I'm worried about is the Chiefs have to beat the Bengals in Cincinnati. All right? That's got to happen on Sunday. And I think that's going to happen on Sunday. And then the Rams have to beat the Ravens. The Rams lost their running back yesterday, but that's okay. The Ravens are running around with one wing broken and the other one bereft of feathers. So I still think King of the North is going to be the Cleveland Browns. Just requires a few things to kind of fall into place. So I'm going out to the West Coast to enjoy the playoff run and be positioned to get up to SoFi early on Super Bowl Sunday. And I'm not delusional at all. I am here also to tell you that I was on Special Report last night, and I'll be back on tonight. And I think I'm the last pundit inside the Beltway, but Brett and I get along fine. It's the best news show in America, and I've long thought that. When I was working for the other team, I couldn't do it. Now I can, and I'm happy to always do it when Brett wants me there because it's a serious look at the news and some diverse points of view and enough time to actually make your points. And the questions are neutral. So I was on last night, and I pointed out, look, Omicron, and this is my appeal to you, Omicron is like the hordes coming out of the steppes of Asia, right? If you're a Lord of the Rings fan, it's like the orcs flowing out of Isengard or Mordor. And it's going everywhere. And you've got your own Gondor. It's called CVS. It's down the street or Walmart. And you might have to call ahead and make an appointment, but you can go get a vaccine today or you can go get a booster today, and then you'll be fine. Dr. Scott Gottlieb, who I think has emerged as the most credible individual in America on the virus, because he's never oversold and underperformed, and he's never overpromised and underdelivered. He's a just-the-facts man. He was posting the details on Omicron yesterday. You have a 6% chance of dying from Omicron if you're unvaccinated. And you have like a 0.006 chance of dying from Omicron if you're vaccinated. It's that big of a swing. And you're thinking to yourself, 6% chance of dying isn't that bad. Well, yeah, actually it is. That's actually kind of high. You're not going to buy a lot of lottery tickets where behind door number one is $100 and the satisfaction of telling your neighbor you didn't get vaccinated and behind door number two is death. You really don't want to do that. So I want to explain in my first segment today, sunk costs. There is no news. It's the week between Christmas and New Year's. There is no news. The only news out there is, who's got Omicron? The answer is everybody. It's exponential growth is a hell of a thing to watch. And it is. They're up to 220,000 cases a day in the United States, and those are the only ones we know about. Thank goodness most of them are mild. Thank God that very, very, very few of them affect children. And I speak from some experience here. I've not had the virus. I've been vaccinated twice and with Pfizer, and I got the Pfizer booster. And I'll get the fourth booster as soon as they say, hey, people, come on in. I'll be right back down to the Walmart or the Walgreens or the CVS or whatever is handy, and I'll get boosted. I'll get boosted 10 times. I don't care. I get every time I seem to do something that involves an injury, which is occasional, like breaking my toe. They always ask me. They always ask me whenever their skin is broken, when did you have your last tetanus booster? To which I always respond, what is the truth? I have no idea. Hey, Dwayne, when was the last time you had a tetanus booster? Do we have a camera on, Dwayne?
Maybe 10 years. No, 10 years ago, maybe?
Now, come on, really. When was the last time?
Maybe 10 years ago.
You don't remember, do you?
Maybe 10 years ago.
Adam, when was the last time you got a tetanus booster?
Probably when I was a teenager or something.
Ben, when did you get a tetanus booster last?
Definitely 10 years ago.
Okay. So, they have fewer injuries than I do. I'm in there. You know, the toe is the most recent thing. And by the way, the toe is recovering. I'm hobbling around now. I can do 3 miles hobbling. And I got to hobble back.
Can anybody tell the difference?
Yes, they can. You very smart. Very smart. I have got to go return fetching Mrs. Hewitt's Christmas presents. I went 1 for 6 this year, so I'm in the zone. That's the Mendoza line for my Christmas gift abilities. But it's a store she likes, so the credit will be good. In any event, they asked me at the urgent care, do I need a tetanus shot? To which I replied, I have no idea. Who knows when they had a tetanus shot? Well, right now, if I need a tetanus shot every time I go, I get one. I don't worry about shots. And I don't worry about vaccines or boosters. If it takes 7 boosters, given that I'm over 60 and I've got asthma, I am not screwing around with this thing. I do not want to spend a week in the hospital. I do not want to ever get near a ventilator. I've told you my great and much missed beloved dad of my 2 in-laws and my 2 parents, dad did it the right way. Clutched his chest and was gone. All right? That's the way to go. And I pray every day, Lord, when it's my turn to knock on the gates, just grab me. Okay, grab me by the collar. Let other, Dwayne can clean up. Just take me with you. And that's the opposite of the other three. My mom and my in-laws had long exits from this veiled place. So I want to go quickly, but I don't want to go on a ventilator. No. And so I'm going to do everything I can. Now, what's interesting is we have a unique opportunity. Politics has been in the background for a week. If you've noticed Twitter, there's just not much to fight about. And I wasn't a big fan of the Let's Go Brandon thing to the President of the United States. He's head of state, so I wasn't a big fan. I also don't think the guy who did it thinking it was funny. We all do. Dwayne often tells jokes that he thinks are funny, and they're not. We just pass that by. And it's, okay, so he screwed up. But the deal is, when you're chasing Santa on NORAD, there's not a lot going on in the world. This is the hardest week to broadcast because all we have is a plague. The markets were open yesterday. I didn't even notice that. Did you know the markets were open yesterday? I didn't know that. I thought, Salem had the day off. I played my N.T. Wright interview, which is the best 3-hour conversation with a Christian theologian on the radio anywhere, and we dig it out every year. Mark Roberts was in on Christmas Eve. We'll do Larry Arn on New Year's Eve and next Monday. History of the Ideas in 2 days. You can learn all that stuff. But here's the deal. There's no news, so you had a chance to think. Omicron is literally everywhere. They have 13 million. If you listen to Special Report last night, they asked me for the headline. Do we have that cut? My last cut on Special Report with Brett Baer last night. What's your headline for tomorrow, Hugh? And I said this.
Finally tonight, a look at tomorrow's headlines with the panel. Hugh, first to you.
Ominous news out of China, Brett. 13 million Chinese in the city of Xi'an under the strictest house arrest, a lockdown we haven't seen since Wuhan. Very bad news. Yeah, okay, so we had 44 seconds to go around the panel, so I made it short and sweet. The Chi-Coms have got 13 million people locked in their houses. They haven't welded the doors like they did in Wuhan. So that tells you what the originators of the virus, the CCP, think about Omicron against their the Chinese have a vaccine, but it's like half soybeans. It's no good. And so their country is if you go to the Olympics, you're out of your mind. Not only are they a genocidal maniac country and bent on destroying the world, but or ruling the world, but they haven't got any protections against Omicron. But if you really got up on a platform and you beat your chest, I'm not doing a vaccine, I'm not doing it, no, the government, this is a conspiracy, blah, blah, blah. Nobody cares if you change your mind. Nobody cares. Just step down off the it's called sunk cost. Don't throw good money after bad. Don't leave yourself vulnerable another day longer. Say, you know, I'm thinking about it. If someone gives you grief, I changed my mind. I read the data and I thought, well, okay, I'd watched for a year. I got the emergency thing off of it. It's all legit now. And so I went out and got a vaccine. What's it to you? It's my life. Go change your mind. Go get a booster. Go get a vaccine. Get started today on the Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. I forgot in the last segment I was talking to the doctor in Philly about Omicron, and I forgot to take my relief factor, but I am not going to forget before I talk to Drucker. I'm going to actually open it up, get my carrying curcumin, resveratrol, omega. I don't think David's ever participated in a relief factor live demonstration. It's very easy, David. You take these four pills, and you get your lukewarm coffee, which isn't actually that lukewarm today. It's kind of hot, but relieffactor.com is preparing me for my withdrawal to winter quarters on the West Coast, where Drucker is originally from. I'll have relief factor in my bones and my body by the time I hit the Huntington Beach Trail on Saturday. David M. Drucker, I'm making my withdrawal to the West. I'm sure you wish you could be going.
This sounds like The Hobbit, where you're going into the West.
Yes, I am. I'm going into the shades of gray, the gray havens.
Yeah, correct. Listen, I will be jealous of the weather, but not the traffic. Let's put it that way.
Well, you know, I try not to go out much during normal times, but you're right. And I had a friend drive yesterday 7 hours back to the Beltway from North Carolina, and it can be very daunting this time of year. But you are an Angeleno. I am curious, David, if you have gotten the reports that California is basically falling apart. And I say that not in an overstatement, but the smash and grabs, the assaults, the surge in crime, and, of course, the flight of people from the state. Our home state's pretty rotten right now.
Yeah, look, I've heard the same thing, and you know, and I think the way you set that up, Hugh, is apt, because you know, for years people will tell me, oh, well, that's L.A. I mean, that must be awful or crazy or great weather, but you know, traffic or crime or this or that, and you know, I would tell them for years, it's a beautiful place. I moved for various reasons. I don't regret it. I don't want to go back, but I always recommend you should go visit, live there. But it is undergoing, from relatives and friends that I still have in California that are not out to get California. They're not leaving. They like it. But they tell me it's got issues, and serious, serious problems. And I often tell them, you know, whatever, you know, I live on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., and I hear all the time that, oh, well, you must be dealing with all of these things. And, you know, Washington is, since the pandemic, been afflicted with many of the things that are afflicting cities at the moment, but not to the extent at all that I see and hear happening in California. And so, yeah, it's a problem, and I'm wondering if leadership is going to emerge, if voters are going to emerge and want something different, because nothing changes until voters demand something different.
You know, the sharpest contrast between the Beltway and California is homelessness. And I've spent a lot of time in both places, near places that are currently occupied by homeless encampments. And the problem in D.C. is significant. It is 0.01% of the problem in California, which is endemic. I mean, it's like Omicron. It's everywhere. And by it, I mean actual human beings made in the image of God in desperate, desolate, degrading conditions. And California's paralyzed.
They are. And this is a paralysis, by the way, that I have not experienced in Washington. In fact, the most paralysis we've ever experienced in Washington with homelessness is the difference between city land and federal land.
Yes.
Sometimes we've had some difficulty handling encampments on federal land, but not city land. The mayor's been very responsive. And this kind of responsiveness I have not seen or read about in California, where they do not have this dichotomy between city, state, and federal. They have the power to do something about this. Now, some of these problems were created because shelters were shut down during the coronavirus at its height because people were worried about the virus and what happens when you have people in close quarters. But this is something that had been building, and it's something that needs to be addressed, especially with the wide availability of vaccines and boosters. And it is simply a state of paralysis and infighting. It's something, but it's not being dealt with the way it should be.
Now, David, I want to get a prediction for 2022 from you. I had the worst prediction of 2021 because on the morning of January 6th, I was talking with Megyn Kelly on her podcast about the transition generally. Thing. Everything will be fine. The president will turn over power peacefully. And, of course, there was a riot at the Capitol later that afternoon. Now, I wasn't predicting there wouldn't be a riot, and there was a transition. But, nevertheless, the optics were terrible. So my prediction for 2022, a Republican sweep of the elections, is made against that backdrop. What's your prediction?
Well, I mean, I think every indicator points to a Republican sweep. I think what we don't know is how broad that sweep will be. And I hate to make predictions in politics too far out because certainty is the enemy of a prediction that comes through, and politics is not static. But I think when you look at where the electorate is, when you look at full control of Washington by one party and an electorate that is unhappy with that, particularly key segments of the electorate, where are independents, where are swing voters that powered Democratic victories in 2018 and at the top of the ticket 2020, Democrats are in a world of hurt, and they don't have a cushion to absorb losses. They have a one-seat majority in the Senate and a five-seat majority in the House. That's simply not enough.
I agree with you. I think it's going to be a fascinating year, but nobody ever thought W would win 2002, but of course 9/11 made that happen. So we have no idea what will happen, but right now, sitting from here, going to be a bad year to be a Democrat. Time to go change parties. Also time to go get your vaccine, your booster. Also time to change your channel and set it to this, the Hugh Hewitt Show, and leave it there. Your preset channels, change them up. Leave them on the Hugh Hewitt Show. I'll be right back. I want to remind you that our sponsor is AndrewandTodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to AndrewandTodd.com or call them at 888-1172. Morning, Glory America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. Live inside the Beltway as I prepare my retrograde maneuver. I am withdrawing to winter quarters on the West Coast tomorrow. Ed Morrissey will be in with me. But before I do that, I want to talk to Byron York, who you may have seen smiling with a Christmas tree behind him on Special Report last night. I don't think I've ever done a television hit with you before, Byron. So that was kind of fun. I enjoyed that.
I was pleased to see that you were on. Enjoyed it.
Now, let me ask you about something you said that we ran out of time to follow up on, which is you very shrewdly observed that the withdrawal from Afghanistan, the chaos, the catastrophe, has something to do with Joe Biden's general malaise. And I don't think we can say that enough. I made a note. Good point. Byron, explain to people why that matters, even as we talk about Omicron and economic growth and every other story that's out there, including the one I wrote about the Post today, the Chinese.
Well, the topic, the immediate topic we were talking about was the latest developments in Omicron and Biden's stunning statement that there is no federal solution. Now, it's not stunning in terms of its content. It's stunning that Biden would say it after everything he has said since the campaign. But my point was that reality has caught up with Joe Biden again. His disastrous handling of the withdrawal from Afghanistan showed that Biden was not the foreign policy expert he portrayed himself to be in the campaign. You know, he would say, you know, I've been in the Senate a million years. I was on the Foreign Affairs Committee. I know all these world leaders. I can talk to them. I can deal with them. And then it turns out he just bungles the withdrawal from Afghanistan in a historic way. So reality caught up with his campaign persona. And now we're seeing it with COVID. His handling of this recent Omicron situation and his actual admission that he's been taken by surprise and didn't know what was happening has caught up with the Joe Biden he presented during the campaign as the experienced leader who had a comprehensive plan, who knew how to deal with this, whereas Donald Trump did not. So I think this is a situation, and it's very predictable, really, that reality is going to catch up with a president once he becomes president. And if he is not what he sold himself to be, if he's not a man who can handle crises and situations, we're going to find out. And that's what we're finding out now with Joe Biden.
And that's why I was nodding vigorously. I don't know if you had a return. You could see I was just nodding because the catastrophic collapse in Afghanistan and the consequences. I mean, there's famine in Afghanistan now. 13 soldiers died. We've left behind hundreds of citizens and thousands of legal residents and tens of thousands of SIVs. That catastrophic incompetence on full display now poisons any presentation he makes. Add to that, I was not a fan of the Let's Go Brandon thing. I have never been a fan of it. It's vulgar. I don't like it. It's not my style. It's not Christian. It's just nothing I like. But when it happened and the president did not seem to register that it was happening,
yeah,
I thought to myself, that's actually worse than the insult, poorly delivered, in bad taste. But the president's not understanding it, Byron,
yeah,
was a tell.
No, I agree. I agree with you about Let's Go, Brandon. The use of that was rude and ungracious. And I told a story of somebody I knew who didn't really, really, really didn't like Bill Clinton, and kind of imagined themselves telling off Bill Clinton. And had ultimately the opportunity to meet Bill Clinton. And what did he do? It's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. President. You know, that's what you do.
They are head of state. They are, yeah, head of state as well as head of government.
When you meet the President of the United States, you should be courteous. So anyway, I agree totally about the content of Let's Go Brandon. But you're absolutely right about Biden's reaction, and that brings up something interesting, which is I was talking about reality catching up with Biden and exposing his incompetence. That is not really a feature of Biden's age. I think that would be happening if Biden were 60 years old, kind of in the sweet spot of age for a president,
yes,
instead of being very near to 80 and slowing down. So you really have kind of these two problems with Biden. He is visibly slowing down and may not be physically up to the rigors of the job. But in terms of competence, he may not have ever been up to the job of President of the United States. But that's what he is right now. So we have to hope for the best.
And I want to expand on that. The campaign of 2020 was fought between Joe Biden playing rope-a-dope on the ropes, as Ali did to George Foreman in the jungle, the rumble in the jungle so many years ago. He just let President Trump punch himself out, and he didn't really have a strategy. It was the basement strategy. But the battleground was prepared, to use a military term, by Robert Gates and many others who have commented over and over again that President Biden's never been right about anything, except, you know, how Amtrak is wonderful if you live in Delaware, and that, therefore, every time he screws up, most importantly in Afghanistan, but now with Omicron, and when he throws in the towel, people revert back, and they recall that, Byron, and there's no margin of, okay, he gets this one, he takes a strike. There is no margin there because everyone is assuming he's incompetent.
And why not? I mean, you have to remember, Joe Biden, he won the presidency on his third run for the presidency. Joe Biden became a senator, I believe, in January of 1973.
You're correct. With Nixon, he won along with Nixon, one of the only Democrats to win in the sweep.
Senator for a very, very long time, and he's wanted to be president most of that time. And the one thing that never happened in all of those years was that a number of people said to themselves, boy, Joe Biden would be a great president. The campaigns went nowhere. He was an interesting pick for vice president from Barack Obama, in part because of his age and experience, because Obama was young and inexperienced. Also, it was thought that since Obama would be the first black president, maybe it was a leap for some white voters to vote for him, and Joe Biden would be this sort of reassuring, you know, silver-haired white man who could somehow, you know, keep Obama in check or something. I mean, clearly that wasn't right. Obama
Byron, let me interrupt. They thought they were getting, with that pick, they thought they were getting Robert Gates. They really did. They thought they were getting Robert Gates, and they got Joe Biden.
But, you know, we had seen Joe Biden. I mean, if anybody had been to seen Joe Biden in operation, I mean, I'm sure you watched the famous confirmation hearings.
Yes.
The Thomas hearing, even the Bork hearing, in which Joe Biden played a part and actually ran one of them. He could be clownish. You know,
did you remember the Alito hearing when he put on the Princeton hat?
Yes. The Alito hearing was a great example, because if it were not for Arlen Specter, these are my words in defense of Arlen Specter, if it were not for Arlen Specter, we would still be talking about the concerned alumni of Princeton, which was some stupid point that Democrats had, that they were trying to sink the Alito nomination. And so Biden was kind of a clownish figure during these hearings.
He put on the Princeton hat. He put on the Princeton hat. I'll never forget it. And people who are too young won't remember this. But there have been a lot of clownish moments in President Biden's career. I like Princeton. I went to Delaware. I'm a blue hen, but I like Princeton. Oh my goodness, Byron. So the question is, if you're Xi Jinping, if you're Putin, does Biden deter you in any way, shape, or form from anything you want to do?
I don't think so, and I don't think we see any evidence that he has. This is another example of how the man he presented himself to be in the context of the 2020 campaign, with everything that was going on with COVID, with Trump, and all of that, is just not the man who is now president. I don't think he scares any of these world leaders. He hasn't done anything on the nature of killing Soleimani that Trump did that really caught people's attentions and said, wow, we better keep an eye on this president. We're not sure what he's going to do. So they have Biden's number.
They do have his number, and that is not good for you or me or any of our Democratic friends who are listening or anyone who doesn't care about politics. It's very bad when the president of the United States is a joke and perceived that way by the rest of the world, especially our enemies. Byron York, Happy New Year to you. I will talk to you in 2022. Don't go anywhere, America. From inside the Beltway, before I begin my withdrawal to the western border, I'm Hugh Hewitt.
Hugh Hewitt for Birch Gold. You can find them at hughgold.com. You can text my name, Hugh, to 989898. Why would you want to do that? Because you know inflation is here. Not coming. It's here. And you know gold cracked the $1,800 barrier recently. And you know that when inflation knocks at the door of the nation, you want to be in precious metals at least 5 to 10% of your retirement. And the only person that can handle the retirement accounts is a legitimate third-party entity that stores the precious metals on your behalf, maintains them. Not gold stocks, not some option on gold, not a gold ETF. Go and get the real deal with Birch Gold. Now, you can find them at hughgold.com or text my name, Hugh, at 989898. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. They got thousands of satisfied customers. They know what they're doing. hughgold.com or text Hugh to 989898. That's Hugh. Text it to 989898. Thank you.
Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt live inside the Beltway. Tomorrow I'm making my withdrawal to the West Coast borderland for winter quarters. But I'm still in the Beltway, as is Jake Sherman of Punch Bowl News. Follow Jake on Twitter at Jake Sherman. Follow Punch Bowl News at the same Punch Bowl News. And you can subscribe for a free morning newsletter. Not this week. They're dark between now and January 3rd. But when Congress comes back in 2022, you need Punch Bowl News. Jake, good morning to you. I was on a special report last night with Brett Baer, and I made the comment that the Democrats are not gone through the five stages of grief yet, which are, you know, anger, denial, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. They're not even at depression yet. They're not accepting that Joe Manchin rides the wind, as does Kyrsten Sinema. When are they going to get there?
Well, it's interesting. I'm just reading some of the news this morning because, as you know, we are dark this week, so I was able to sleep a little bit later than usual. David Axelrod wrote an op-ed today in the New York Times saying this: if through a retooled BBB, Biden can achieve significant and durable progress on some priorities that'll benefit children and families for generations, Democrats would be wise to celebrate and tout those gains instead of complaining about what wasn't possible. That's really interesting to me, Hugh. And I think a lot of Democrats are going to have to get to that place, because if you could get, I mean, Joe Manchin isn't suggesting, as you note kind of in your opening, what you just said, if they're able to get something, which Joe Manchin is, again, he is willing to do a deal. Democrats should be able to tout that and should be able to have celebrate that, just because they couldn't get exactly what they wanted. And yes, I understand the frustration that one senator controls the Democratic agenda. I get that. It is frustrating, but that is Congress, and that is a 50-50 Senate. And if it wasn't, that's kind of what I think. That's a very smart point by Axelrod, and I think Axelrod has experience here that would be useful.
Well, Axelrod's a very smart guy. I think Believer is one of his memoir, one of the best political books of the last decade. But that would be the fifth stage of grief, Jake. That would be acceptance. And yeah, they would stop saying, why don't you take this, Joe? The bargaining. You have to get over bargaining. Then they get over being depressed that they didn't get with that. Then they just would say, Joe, write a bill. Give us as much as you can. You know what we want. Write a bill. You pick the tax rates. You pick the tax that you want to write. And we hopefully get Senator Sinema. Instead, they're going to charge up the hill of voting rights, which aren't voting rights, and aren't going to get through because the filibuster is not going to change. There is no bargaining there. The only thing they can get done is whatever Joe Manchin wants to get done, and they have to accept that. Do you know, Axelrod's a great consultant. New York Times, a fine newspaper. Has any Democrat walked out and said, you know, it's up to Joe, and we're just going to do what Joe wants?
I don't know that they've said that. I think there is some recognition in the Senate, especially, that that he has the keys, and he has the keys to the castle, so to speak. And I think they would be wise to do that at this point in order to get something done. I don't think this is over. I think the BBB as constructed is over. There's a bunch of different ways they could skin this cat, so to speak. One of those ways is to limit the number of programs and extend their lifetime, which is what Manchin has given them the opportunity to do. Another one is to limit the timeline, which Manchin doesn't really want. Maybe he can get there, maybe he can't. But if they just choose three or four things, I had a Democrat say to me the other day, the BBB is trying to be everything to everybody, and I think there's some truth to that, and if they scale it back, this is what this Democrat was saying, it will not only pass, but it will become more clear what it is.
Now here's the difference between you and I. Democrats don't get to choose. Manchin gets to choose.
Yes,
and the politically smart thing would be to say, okay, Joe, you choose. Write the bill. Well, you know what we want. We have a Christmas list, and we're not going to get anything on the list. You know what's on there. Don't send us something. Don't send us three aircraft carriers and a squadron of F-35s. We don't want that, though he might add that in. Just tell us what you'll give us, and we'll go with that. And
I will say this, Hugh. The only thing that's difficult, and I agree, you and I are basically saying the same thing here, but what the thing that's difficult for Democrats is there's so many red lines, right? There's so many red lines that people have drawn. They drew, Bernie Sanders has said we can't have a bill without expanding Medicare for hearing, vision, and dental. There's a lot of people have said they want the child tax credit as constructed in the ARP, the American Rescue Plan. There's just a lot of things. There's immigration, which we now know based on three kind of rounds of going through this. Is not going to be in the bill, at least as currently constructed, but there's evidence it won't be in the bill at all. So that people have to walk back a lot of red lines at this point.
Yeah, you know, and Jake, more simply, I want the Browns to win the AFC North, and that's actually up to the Chiefs and the Rams, not the Browns. The Browns can do a couple of things. They can win their last two games. But if the Chiefs don't beat the Bengals and the Rams don't beat the Ravens, I don't get what I want because I'm not in control, so I'm kind of at acceptance, right? Isn't that where they need it?
That's true.
That acceptance. We all need acceptance. Jake, I'll talk to you in the new year. Punch Bowl News. Go and subscribe today. Make that your New Year's resolution. Come back. 1-800-520-1234. Your New Year's resolutions for Dwayne are welcome. 1-800-520-1234. Should Dwayne be nicer to me? We'll take that and many other of your phone calls right after this.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.